Today on More to Life, Shaken, Not Stirred. Is anxiety shaking you up? We want to help you find grace-filled ways to reclaim your peace and not be stirred. 877-573-7825. All of us want a great and grace-filled marriage, family, personal life. St. John Paul's Theology of the Body gives us a blueprint for making that happen.
More to Life. Happy couples find little ways to say I do every day.
Faithful insights. Effective tools.
Raising godly kids requires more than stopping bad behavior.
That's right. It means finding ways to make our faith the source of the warmth in our homes.
Practical. Theology of the Body-based answers for every part of your life.
God gave us our feelings. We don't have to be afraid of them.
And we just have to make sure that the first thing we do is ask Him how He wants us to deal with them.
The life you were meant to live through the theology of the body. More to Life.
Good morning, everyone. You are listening to More to Life, right here on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
I'm Lisa Popchak.
And today's show is titled, Shaken, Not Stirred. No, we're not doing a Bond movie. We're talking about anxiety. And is anxiety shaking you up? We want to help you find grace-filled ways to reclaim your peace and not be stirred. Or should that be not be stirred? I'm not sure. 877-573-7825. Either way, we want to help you be less anxious and more peaceful. There you go.
That's what we all want these days, isn't it?
And I think deep cleansing breath.
I think that so many of us are dealing with some form of feeling anxious about something, especially when we've jumped back into everyday life, a new year, looking toward the future. It can really feel too big for us to handle, at least in certain areas of our life, and then that anxiety comes up. And the problem with anxiety is it very rarely gives us the breathing space to problem solve, to see a better situation coming instead of the things that we are anxious about. But there are steps to take and things to do that can help us feel like we are equal to what we are worried about, and also able to create better situations that can alleviate that anxiety in us and allow us to live a grace-filled and fruitful life. And if that sounds like something that you want in your life instead of the anxious thoughts, or the anxious thoughts that the people you love are suffering from, well then give us a call today on More to Life at 877-573-7825. That's 877-573-7825.
Call up and share. Is there a particular problem in your life or relationships that's causing you to feel a little anxious? You know, maybe there's that challenge that's going on in your marriage that you're just not sure how to approach it. Maybe you're dealing with a parenting issue with one of your younger children, or you're anxious about the choices that an adult child is making or the way that they're living in general. Or maybe, you know, it's not a specific problem in your own life or relationships. Maybe it's just this undercurrent of anxiety that's just always there. You're worried about the world, or you're worried about the people that you care about. Not necessarily for any particular reason. It's just you worry, right? Or, for that matter, maybe it isn't you who are anxious, but perhaps it's someone you care about who's struggling with worry or anxiety. And just saying, hey, don't worry, isn't working. Or any other thing that you try that might be more effective isn't working either. Give us a call at 877-573-7825. The reality is anxiety is a constant presence for most of us, and we want to help you recenter yourself and reclaim your peace. 877-573-7825. So every day on More to Life, we take a look at the topic of the day through the lens of St. John Paul's Theology of the Body. And I think a perfectly natural response to me saying that would be, how can some theology help me be less anxious?
Unless it's just that we're going to sit with said theology and read it all night till we fall asleep and we don't have the strength to feel anxious.
That could work too, I suppose. But no.
Theology of the Body is big.
That is true. But so the Theology of the Body, St. John Paul wrote it in response to a big question that he asked, essentially, which was, you know, if we take everything that God's given us, creation, scripture, salvation history, you know, the whole thing, what universal principles could we discern about God's plan for human flourishing and healthy, holy relationships? So ultimately, you know, his answer to that question became this theology of the body, which rather than just being this sort of abstract, kind of highfalutin thing, is incredibly practical and provides a blueprint for an abundant life and fulfilling relationships.
And when we look at the theology of the body, we see that it reminds us that anxiety isn't God's will for us. After all, Jesus constantly counseled us against anxiety. And at the dawn of creation, before the fall, Adam and Eve were completely vulnerable, but they weren't afraid. They completely trusted in God's care and in each other's love.
Yeah, and it was only after original sin entered the world and disrupted the deep intimacy that existed between God and humanity that anxiety showed up. You know, suddenly our first parents felt exposed and ashamed and insufficient. They ran away from God and hid from him, and also felt the need to protect themselves from each other. And that's still what anxiety does to us today. It isolates us from God, from others, and even from our own best selves.
We often think that anxiety comes from the problems that we face. But research actually shows that anxiety is a sign that we're letting our problems undermine our sense of connection, even when we're concerned about something. As long as we feel a strong connection to God and to the people who love us and our best selves, we won't tend to be anxious.
Right. And we, you know, we've all experienced that. You know, where we go into, for example, Eucharistic adoration, all worried about something, and we come out and the problem is still there, but somehow we feel more peaceful about it.
We have that peace because we feel so connected to the real presence of God.
We feel worried about something, and then we talk to someone we love, and we feel connected to them, and then we feel more peaceful, even though that problem is still there. That's because being concerned about something isn't the same thing as being anxious about it. Right? When we're concerned about something, we notice a problem, we bring it to God, we gather the support of the people who love us, and we make a plan to deal with it. But anxiety is different. Anxiety traps us in the problem so completely that it makes it hard to reach out for help. We can't think or act clearly. We just spin out.
So the theology of the body reminds us and invites us to do what Adam and Eve forgot how to do. Run toward the Father instead of hiding from him, and to make a special effort to connect with the people God has placed in our lives to love and support us even through tough times.
Well, and that's why St. John Paul always encouraged people to be not afraid. And he said that all the time. Every time he got off a plane in a new country, every time he, you know,
took the stage or took the, you know, went up to say Mass, he always said to the people who were with him,
"Be not afraid." It wasn't his official papal motto, but it might as well have been. Yeah. And when he said that, he wasn't denying that life was hard. I mean, this is a man who faced down the Nazis, who stood up to communism. You know, who faced his own assassin, right?
I mean, who lived through grief and forced labor. I mean, he knew from whence he spoke.
But he was reminding us that the best way to win the fight against anxiety was to run toward God and others and not just try to handle everything ourselves.
Now, I do want to say one thing here, because as you're listening, there are some of our listeners who will think to themselves, well, if I feel anxious and I'm not trusting God, then I'm sinning, then I'm doing something wrong, that God is mad at me. No, that is what the father of lies wants us to believe. That's what happened in the garden, where we let those lies that Satan wants us to believe, that he wants us to feel so anxious that we can't feel connected to God. That's a lie from Satan to keep us from thriving, from feeling God's love and mercy, and from being able to connect with ourselves in our best way and other people. So it's not that we, you know, go and hide ourselves. It's that we realize that we can acknowledge that lie and ask God to draw us closer to Him, to come closer to us, to have that mercy, and to give us the trust in Him to do the work that He wants us to do, to overcome that anxiety and thrive in Him.
All right, because the last thing you need on top of anxiety is feeling guilty about it. That's not
getting what, anxious yeah. about feeling anxious.
Exactly, and that not, God doesn't want that, and we're not suggesting that either.
Not at all.
What we're saying is that there is a way forward that's not always obvious to us, and that God wants to draw closer to us even in that anxiety, because His perfect love will help cast out our fear. 877-573-7825 is the number to call. The show today titled Shaken, Not Stirred, as we talk about the ways anxiety shakes up our lives. We want to help you find grace-filled ways to reclaim your peace and not be stirred. 877-573-7825. Let's take our concerns to the Lord, and we'll start taking your calls. In the name of the Father,
the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Lord Jesus Christ, we come into your presence, and we bring to you those situations that are provoking anxiety, that sense of anxiety that's just an undercurrent for many of us, the worry that we have about particular problems, the worries we have about the world or the people in our lives. Help us, Lord, to acknowledge the real concerns that exist in ways that enable us to be responsible about them, to bring them to you, to gather support from the people you've placed in our lives, to use the resources you've given us to make a plan to deal with those things. But help us to not give in to that sense of anxiety that allows our problems to separate us from you and from others. Your servant St. Augustine reminded us that there was a difference between the press of troubles and oppression, that the press of troubles is are just the things we have to deal with, that you want to help us manage, while oppression is when we allow those problems to separate us from you and others. So, Lord, we come to you now and we ask you to stay close and to help us to reach out to you in those times when we're feeling distant, to give us the courage to reach out to the people that you've placed in our lives and to find ways to reconnect with our best selves and the resources you've given us to deal with these challenges, so that we can face concerns with grace and confidence and trust in your providence. We ask all this through the intercession of the Blessed Virgin Mary. And in the name of the Father,
the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Pope St. John Paul the Great,
pray for us.
Today on More to Life, we're talking about anxiety on our show titled Shaken, Not Stirred. Is there a particular problem in your life or relationships that's causing you to feel anxious? Maybe you're not sure how to address it, or your efforts to deal with that particular problem aren't going the way you'd hoped. Maybe you're just feeling a constant undercurrent of anxiety because of events in the world, or you're concerned about the people in your life that you love and are worried about. Or maybe it's not you who are anxious, but somebody that you love who's struggling with anxiety, and you're just not sure how to support them and help them find peace, whether that's your spouse, a younger or adult child, or other person who's close to you. However anxiety is complicating your life, let us help you connect with grace-filled ways to reclaim your peace and not be stirred. 877-573-7825. Let's take our first question. Lisa, who's up?
We have a question here from Mariana, who is listening to EWTN Radio in Indiana. She says, I am 24 years old and had my second baby 3 months ago. My oldest is 27 months. After my first, I bounced back pretty quickly. I was able to put him in a sling and get out of the house for errands and to see friends, get basic housework done, and I would rest or nap while he napped. Now is not the same. Running after my toddler and keeping him entertained and holding the baby is exhausting. My oldest is fighting naps because he wants mommy time while the baby is sleeping. I'm falling behind on keeping the home and making hot, nutritious meals for when my husband gets home. I'm finding myself being very anxious that I just am never going to be the homemaker and wife I want to be again. My husband is very patient and loving, but I keep being anxious that he'll get fed up with me and not being the woman that he's been in love with for the last 4 years. I don't know how to deal with this anxiety and get myself together. And that's Mariana in Indiana.
Oh, Mariana, God bless you.
You know what, Greg? There's a million things I could say mom to mom here, but I really would like a male perspective on this, especially since she's so anxious about what her husband's thinking and all this. Would you mind kicking in here on that?
No, happy to. All I want to say is that you've been through a lot, right? I mean, I think that people underestimate the impact that the pregnancy and labor and childbirth have on your body. And you know, you expect yourself to bounce back and be great, you know, I don't know, 6-8 weeks later. And it takes at least a year. You know, it basically, you know, giving birth is like being hit by a car. I mean, really, it is. And it takes time to heal. And you're going to feel overwhelmed, and you're going to feel tired, and you're going to feel like you can't. You're kind of at sixes and sevens.
But I will say, just to jump in on what you just said, because you have a lot more to say on a man's you know, reflection on this, and also from a psychological point of view. But I appreciate the fact that you use this metaphor of when you give birth, it's a little like getting hit by a car. As we go through this conversation, Mariana, I want you to think, would your husband expect you to get up and make him hot meals and keep the house perfectly clean if you were lying in a hospital bed in your living room because you just got hit by a car?
Or if you were just discharged from being hit by a car, either way.
You know, no, you'd give yourself, and you would expect your husband to give you a lot more grace and time to heal.
No, you know, and you're blessed in that your husband, you said your husband is supportive and understanding, and basically you're kind of doing a number on yourself, saying, you know, I'm going to wear out his patience. I'm going to, you know, cause him to get frustrated with me. I would like you to do two things. The first thing, I want to make sure that you guys are praying together every day, right? And specifically, I want you to be asking God together to help you both be the husband and the wife that he wants you to be, and to look for ways and to give you ways to take care of each other.
That is so important, to be praying together, to be able to do this together in that way, rather than you mind reading what he's going to think or is thinking about you, you trying to impress him or whatever image or people you have in your head. It can really shift everything when you begin a couple prayer about this situation.
So let me give you an example of what I mean, right? So you're saying, okay, Lord, you know, I really want to be the wife that my husband deserves, that you want me to be. I kind of feel really overwhelmed and a little anxious about, you know, being able to do all the things that I'd really like to do for him, but please help me to do what I can. And he can say, you know, Lord, help me to let my wife know how much I love her and how much I really want her to take the time she needs to recover and to let me know what she needs, and so I can be the husband that she needs me to be, right? And then the second thing you can do from that then is have a conversation. What are some things that we could do to help give each other a more peaceful or enjoyable day? And you can prioritize then the things that would be most effective and most impactful. And also discuss the things that you could let go, because maybe they're not as important, or they can be pushed down the road a little piece. But having that prayer time and that conversation allows you to be a team through this. You know, we said at the beginning that anxiety is not caused by the problems that we face, but allowing the problems we face to separate us from God and the people who love us. This is a perfect example, because instead of going to your husband and talking and praying through this, you're trying to figure out, how can I jump through enough hoops to make all the people around me happy, without even asking the people around you if they're happy. And in fact, your husband's saying he's happy.
And I want to say to you, Mariana, I see you going through something that almost every new mom, especially a mom who feels called to really create a wonderful and peaceful home, as part of who you are. We don't allow our spouses in. We don't. We want to be this person that we have in our heads that perhaps, as you were able to do with your first one, kind of live up to your own standard. And we forget to allow our spouses to love us, to serve us, to work for our good, which is what they're called to be doing, and they can't do that if we don't let them in and be vulnerable with them. It doesn't make you bad, it makes you his spouse. And also to allow him to participate in the care of the children. We often are like, no, I can do it perfectly, or no, I can do it better, and we don't let them in. The biggest gift that you two can give each other is to pray about this together and allow him to be part of serving the family and loving you.
Two resources I'm going to leave you with. First of all, my book, Unworried, A Life Without Anxiety, really give you ways to address the feelings that you're having, both whether through using physical exercises, psychological exercises, spiritual exercises. It really takes a holistic approach to helping people overcome anxiety. So I encourage you to check it out. It's Unworried, A Life Without Anxiety, available wherever books are sold or at CatholicCounselors.com. The other place I'd like to refer you to is our app, Catholic Home. That's H-O-M, stands for Households on Mission. And it's a place where parents can get the support they need to really regain their confidence, to get the coaching, parent coaching they need, the marriage coaching too, and gather creative resources to help you build that more loving, caring, connected family that you're looking for. So if you want that daily support, encouragement from a community of folks who are in the same situation that you're in, and get that expert support from our coaches and pastoral counselors, check it out, the Catholic HOM app. Subscribe today, and we'll hope to continue the conversation there. With that, we've got to go to break. When we come back, more of your calls on our show titled Shaken, Not Stirred, where we're helping you overcome anxiety. 877-573-7825.
You like pizza? Me too. And for that, we can thank our friend Tom Monahan. First, he starts with $900 and opens one pizza shop. Then it's worldwide, thousands of shops. But all this was just a warm-up for his greatest achievement yet. He built a university.
God inspired Tom to build up generations of men and women who have a hunger to reach the world for Christ. This place is Ave Maria University.
Visit avemaria.edu to see what's next.
It's a new year, and many of us are thinking about the changes we'd like to see in our marriage, family, and personal lives. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, founder of CatholicCounselors.com. Discover how our team of professional pastoral counselors can help you break unhealthy patterns, heal relationships, and become the person God created you to be. At CatholicCounselors.com, we're committed to helping your faith, life, and relationships flourish. Visit CatholicCounselors.com today to schedule an appointment. Let us help you celebrate God's plan for your best life.
Steve and Janet Ray here, announcing we are back in the Holy Land, ready to introduce you to our favorite places in the world, the land where God walked. Mass at the most holy sites, pray the mysteries of the rosary where they happened, and experience the Bible in vivid color. We have led over 100 groups through this land, sharing the whole story of salvation. Of all the pilgrimages in all of the world, this is the one you should not miss.
Find the Ave Maria Radio travel tab at avemariaradio.net.
Do you own popular index mutual funds or ETFs? If so, you're automatically owned shares of companies that conflict with your moral beliefs. Ave Maria mutual funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria mutual funds. The experienced professional portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and pro-life values. You can learn more about Ave Maria mutual funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
Welcome back to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and today on More to Life, Shaken, Not Stirred. Is anxiety shaking you up? We want to help you find grace-filled ways to reclaim your peace and not be stirred. 877-573-7825.
Let's talk right now with Sandy, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Pennsylvania.
Hi, Sandy. Welcome to More to Life. What's going on?
Hi. Hello. I just heard your station. I've listened to you guys before, and I realized listening to you and you, the way you were describing anxiety, I'm 60, and I wouldn't say I'm a person that suffers from anxiety, and I have deep faith, but I lost a friendship in the last, like, 10 years, and she was a dear friend, my sister-in-law. We raised our kids together, and I kind of just always thought she's going through something, you know, she'll come around, and I really missed the friendship, and she kind of got... I never lost a friendship. I'm pretty kind to people, and I don't really lose friendships. And it really
so what happened?
But I just kept giving her. I think kind of in high school and college when our kids got to there, the sports thing became a little crazy. You know, like that kind of competitiveness, and I'm kind of like, I'm out. So I kind of just got like quieter. But I kind of thought, well, she'll get through that, you know, and we'll still be okay. And she kind of didn't, and it just kind of got very more aggressive towards me. And I just kept praying through it and trying to be like nicer and kinder. And then my husband finally said, you need to stop. No more calling her for walks. And she's not into you anymore. She's not nice to you. And it really hurt. I said, I've never lost a friend. Well, I prayed and prayed. I kept saying, Lord, I know you tell us to forgive and to love. I have to love and forgive her. I see her at things. And she is being kinder now. It's been about 8 years. I'm having grandkids now. But I still have an angst. Like, I think I have forgiven her, but I'm not good with it. I don't know how to explain it. I think it was so many years of being hurt. I don't kind
of Well, it was a lot of years, Rebecca, and it sounds like you're just in a place. I'm sorry, Sandy. It sounds like you're in a place that, like, you're thinking, okay, maybe there's been enough time. Have you thought about just talking to her? I mean, she's still your sister-in-law, and saying,
I knew you were going to say that.
Okay, so what's the answer?
Isn't that funny? I, like, don't like confrontation.
Okay.
And I know that's bad. I wish I would have said something years ago. I feel like
sure.
It's so big now.
Well, I'll tell you what, Sandy, hold on. We got to go to break because we have this hard break in like 20 seconds. So stick with us, and we'll offer some ways to approach this that won't feel so confrontational when we come back.
Yeah,
after the
we'll
break.
Get some info on what you have done and what you can do.
Terrific.
So stay with us over the break.
And we're taking your calls as well as listeners at 877-573-7825. The show is titled Shaken, Not Stirred. We're talking about the ways anxiety shakes us up. We want to help you find grace-filled ways to reclaim your peace, whether you are feeling anxious or trying to help someone you care about overcome their anxiety. 877-573-7825. More to Life will continue with your calls coming up right after the break. Stick around.
He was a Jesuit, a cardinal, and a doctor of the church.
Matthew Bunsen and the Doctors of the Church.
St. Robert Bellarmine is honored for his immense contributions to theology, including helping to draft two important catechisms that defended church teachings during the Protestant Revolt. Pope Clement VIII named Bellarmine a cardinal because, as the Pope put it, Bellarmine had not his equal for learning.
For more about the Doctors of the Church, visit doctorsofthechurch.com.
When did Jesus reveal the existence of the Holy Spirit? Though the Lord alluded to the Spirit in speaking to Nicodemus and to the Samaritan woman, the Catholic Catechism tells us Jesus did not fully reveal the Holy Spirit until he himself had been glorified through his death and resurrection. Little by little, nevertheless, Jesus did also refer to the Holy Spirit, even when teaching to the multitudes, as when he says his own flesh will be food for the life of the world. When the hour for his glorification arrives, Jesus actually promises the arrival of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of truth, the other paraclete, says the Catechism, will be given by the Father in answer to Jesus' prayer. He will be sent by the Father in Jesus' name. This is Peggy Stanton, and this has been the Order of Malta's Minute with the Catechism.
Maybe you've been hearing a lot about the need to make a spiritual communion while participating from home in a live-streamed or broadcast Mass. By asking for spiritual communion, we are acknowledging that the Holy Mass is the perfect, best way to worship God. The priest intercedes perfectly for us with God the Father because he acts in persona Christi. This is the time to see that through the priest's representation of Christ's sacrifice on Calvary, we are never separated from our Lord. Jesus, I embrace you and unite myself wholly to you.
Hi, I'm Lisa Popcheck. Do you need to have an important conversation with someone? Here's a tip. Do twice as much listening as talking. Don't do it as a technique. Listen because you're genuinely interested in what the other person thinks, what motivates them, and what their goals, concerns, and needs are. Successful conversationalists may not agree with everything the other people say, but they're careful not to rush to judgment. They ask questions. They show real care and concern. They look for points of agreement to build on. They don't try to change the person they're speaking with, but they do look for ways to be a positive influence while deepening the relationship.
Christians call this approach accompaniment. To learn more about being an effective listener, especially when it comes to building a better relationship with your adult kids, check out our book, Having Meaningful, Sometimes Difficult Conversations with Your Adult Sons and Daughters, or visit CatholicCounselors.com.
Welcome back, folks. You're listening to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
I'm Lisa Popchak.
And today's show is titled Shaken, Not Stirred, as we talk about how anxiety shakes us up, and even more importantly, how we can find grace-filled ways to reclaim our peace and not be stirred. 877-573-7825. Before the break, we were talking with Sandy in Pennsylvania. She was sharing how she's feeling anxious about having lost a very close friend of hers, and that they still see each other from time to time, but she was kind of nervous about approaching this friend and, you know, seeing, you know, is there anything they could do to maybe rekindle the relationship.
Well, and we need to throw in here that this is also her sister-in-law, so there have been 8 years of strain and not seeing each other, and she's missing her.
Sandy, you're still with us?
Yes, I am.
Great. Was that a fair summary, or was there anything else that you wanted to add that we missed?
No, I think that's a fair summary.
Okay.
So what I had been asking you is, you know, have you discussed it with her recently? And you said you're really uncomfortable with any kind of confrontation, so that's holding you back. So, you know, is it that you're afraid of just confronting her, discussing this with her, because there are so many other people involved with her being a family member? Or is that just your go-to, where you're just like, oh, I really don't want to trouble the waters here?
Yeah, I think at the beginning, probably I didn't want, like, you know, she's my daughter's godmother and our family, and, you know, I didn't want to do that. And, you know, she's a person, like, her dad committed suicide when she was 16. Like, she definitely has some trauma in her life that she doesn't talk about. She's very private. So I just kept trying to just give her grace. And now I guess I don't say anything. I think it was for family peace, and now I don't say anything because there was like an elephant in the room for so many years. Now
yeah.
I feel she actually is really trying. Like, I, whatever she went through where she was, I mean, it sounds so silly, I'm a 6-year-old woman, but she was brutal to me. Like, she was mean, and I'm not good with mean. You know, I'm not mean to people, and if you're mean
right.
to me, I just probably wouldn't be your friend. You know, like, I don't fight with people. I just probably
yeah, I can relate to that.
You.
Yeah. Yeah. So
yeah,
I just want to say
now I don't know
one
how
thing.
To go forward, and it does cause yeah. me anxiety because I don't know how to really move forward.
Let's talk about moving forward, but also let's take a moment that you added a really interesting piece here, which was that she lost her father to suicide when she was a teenager. Because when we kind of begin to back off from a relationship that's getting uncomfortable or heated, both sides, whether we believe it or not, because we're living in our own heads, both sides have a lot of dialogue, a lot of why, what if kind of things. We blame, you know, if I didn't do this, or if I had done that, or blah, blah, blah. And you're talking about someone who probably, based on what you're saying, went through a catastrophic loss. And often, those who do, don't react very well to any perceived possibility of losing someone they care about. So there's a whole lot of internal dialogue for her that may have been going on, too.
Well, and you're describing, and you know, you say that she doesn't like to talk about those things. So this suggests that she's not a person who's great at dealing with conflict herself, right?
Mm-hmm.
So taking a direct approach with her and saying, hey, you know, what's wrong, is probably going to provoke her further. But if she's reaching out to you and if you see that she's being kinder, I think the best way to approach that would be to say, hey, you know, I really miss getting time
yes.
with you. Would you like to go to lunch sometime? You know, or there's this thing coming up. Would you like to come with? Right? Don't make it about addressing the history and the
yeah,
big problems and all of that.
Don't rehash anything.
Instead, just really focus on, you know, I really miss getting time with you. Would you be available for? And don't just say, can we get together sometime? Like, have a specific thing in mind. And if she has to say no to that because, you know, she's got something going on or whatever, say, well, let's get our calendars out and figure out what we can do and when. If she kind of fudges on that, right? Then you'll know she's not in a place where she wants to continue the relationship. But
it, or at least not ready to heal it yet.
And then you can kind of just see where it goes based on the fact that she's trying to be kinder these days and that sort of thing. The one piece I do want to address, though, is that the anxiety that you feel about the loss of the friendship. I mean, you know, nobody likes to lose a friend. I mean, that's always very painful.
It's awful.
And, you know, in fact, as you're talking, there's somebody that I'm thinking of that I was friends with, I don't know, years ago, and we lost that friendship, and I still don't know why. Like, you know, I don't know what happened. They just stopped for taking my calls. and when I think about them, it bothers me. I see them in the grocery store now and again, and we wave, and they say hi, and then, you know, nothing. And when I think about it, I feel bad, right? But I'm not anxious about it. Right. And why? Well, because when we tend to get anxious about those sorts of things, we see it as a judgment on us. We see it as I failed this person somehow, or I didn't do something that I should have done. You know, I messed up, or they, you know, there's something wrong with me that they see that I need to identify and fix.
Yeah, we have a lot of negative internal dialogue going on when we're in that situation.
And I'd like you, and whether this relationship can be healed or not, I'd like you to look at that part of yourself, because this is not a reflection on you at all, right? You've done, based on your description, you've done all the things that you were required of you to try to build bridges, to try to open that door, to keep the relationship going.
And even your husband affirmed that.
Right.
You know, you've done enough. Now it's time to lay it at her feet and see what she does with it.
And so maybe even before you talk to her, because I think this will help get rid of some of that desperate feeling that we all have in these kinds of situations, I'd like you to sit down and imagine that there are two different parts of you, okay? There's the part of you that, you know, was talking to us today saying, yeah, I'm a 60-year-old woman. Why is this bothering me so much?
I should be confident.
I should
be fine.
We'll say that's the grown-up kind of mature Sandy, right? And then but I want you to imagine that there's another part, this part that feels rejected, this part that feels hurt, this part that feels like maybe there's something wrong with her. And I want you to imagine that as a different part of you entirely. Just play the game. You know, we recognize that you're just one person, right? But you're just, this is a way of thinking about it. And I want you to imagine a conversation between, and you could even write this out, for example, get a notebook, right? And have, you know, grown-up Sandy, and then writing back to hurt Sandy, right? And you have this conversation back and forth where you're asking hurting Sandy, what is it that she needs to know to not feel so anxious about where this relationship is? And what would she need to know to feel okay about herself, whether she could make the relationship work or not? And just go back and forth about that. Because when we have that internal dialogue between those different parts of ourselves, it allows us to have a more holistic and healthier perspective on things, because it gives us access to information that we don't have when we tend to get stuck in one part at a time.
Well, and let's really talk about that. By writing it down, you are, and having that conversation on paper, you're able to assess it, you're able to stay in a logical brain space and think it through and actually make successful steps. We all have this dialogue going on inside of us all the time, but it's murmuring, it's noise, it's the one side of you blaming yourself, being afraid that you weren't enough, being afraid that it's, you know, you did something wrong, being unhappy with yourself about not wanting to confront something. And then you have the other side that was the perfectly, you know, perfectly articulate, well-spoken, well-thought-out woman who called in today, who's saying, but now, wait a minute, my husband said this, and I did all of these things, and I tried this, and it's really about her. When you start writing that down, that's when you begin to get clarity. That's when you begin to let the Holy Spirit in. And you can even put on the top of the page, Holy Spirit, come and enlighten my mind and bring any healing that's needed in this situation. And then begin to write from those two sides of that internal dialogue that's always going on, but now you're giving full voice to in a way that allows your brain to really think and process.
All right, Sandy, so take those two suggestions and see what happens with that. I hope that you'll call us back and let us know where things stand either way. If it doesn't work out, give us a call back and we can talk about next steps. And if it does, we'd love to hear from you and know that things are going better for you. Thanks so much for making the call. We really appreciate hearing from you, and I hope that these suggestions will give you some ways forward. With that, we are continuing to take your calls, listeners, at 877-573-7825. Our show today titled Shaken Not Stirred, as we talk about all the ways anxiety shakes us up. We want to help you find grace-filled ways to reclaim your peace whether that's solving the particular problem that's causing you anxiety or giving you some tools to address that undercurrent of anxiety that often runs beneath the surface and just makes us feel shaken all the time. 877-573-7825. And as we head out to our break, it's time for our scripture of the day, which comes to us from 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7.
Cast all your worries upon him because he cares for you.
And I want to speak to this because, you know, I run into this with clients especially, and we talk to people on the show, of course, who will say, well, I've given my concerns to God, I've given my worries to God, but then they keep coming back.
I take them back. I just grab them back.
And so I want to give you a way to think about that, because that doesn't mean that you've done a bad job giving your worries to God and now you're failing. The metaphor I like to use, and longtime listeners have heard me say this, when I was a kid, I had terrible math anxiety. I hated math. I would look at the page and it would just swim, and I would start to cry and freak out, you know. And I would want nothing more than my mom or my dad to come and sit down and just tell me the answers so I could be done with this torture, right? But they wouldn't do that, gosh darn it. What they'd do is they'd sit next to me and they'd say, okay, so what is this part of the problem? You know, now what do you do here? It's like, okay, so write that down. Now what do you do here? Right? And they'd walk me through the steps. The reason I'm sharing this with you is because this is what it is to cast our worries on the Lord. Right? When we give our concerns to God, if he doesn't immediately take them away, it's not because we've done a bad job giving them to him. It's because rather than taking them away, he wants to sit down with us and walk through it step by step for two reasons. One, because he wants to use this experience to draw closer to us. And secondly, because he wants us to feel confident and strong in being able to use the resources he's already given us to thrive and to flourish. God isn't being mean. My parents weren't being mean, making me do my math. They were helping me grow up and learn that I could do things even when I felt overwhelmed and scared. And God wants to do that too. So if you have cast your worries upon him and they just keep coming back in your lap, it's not because you've done a terrible job giving him your concerns. It's because he wants to sit with you and walk you through it and show you that, hey, you can do this. I've given you resources to handle it. Let's work through this together. So this way you can draw closer to him and closer to your best self as well. With that, we are taking your calls at 877-573-7825. Back with your questions about anxiety and overcoming it after the break.
You like pizza? Me too. And for that, we can thank our friend, Tom Monahan. First, he starts with $900 and opens one pizza shop. Then it's worldwide, thousands of shops. But all this was just a warm-up for his greatest achievement yet. He built a university.
God inspired Tom to build up generations of men and women who have a hunger to reach the world for Christ. This place is Ave Maria University.
Visit avemaria.edu to see what's next.
Looking for practical, faith-filled help to build the marriage you're longing for or become a more confident Catholic parent? I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, founder of the Catholic Home app. That's Catholic H-O-M for Catholic Households on Mission. The Catholic H-O-M app gives you daily coaching, creative tools, and real-life support to help your family thrive. Subscribe to the Catholic H-O-M app today and discover the path to a more rewarding, faith-filled family life.
The following program is brought to you in part by MyCatholicWill.com. Surveys show that more than half of Americans do not have a will. At MyCatholicWill.com, it takes as little as 15 minutes to write your will and secure a legacy of faith. MyCatholicWill.com is the exclusive online destination for creating a Catholic will. The process of writing a will is simple and now more accessible than ever. MyCatholicWill.com, a legacy of faith for those you love.
When the need for senior care arises, home is where the heart is. Visiting Angels provides home care for mom or dad up to 24 hours per day, including personal care, meals, and light housework. You may select your professional caregiver with Visiting Angels. More information at visitingangels.com or at 877-374-LIVE. That's 877-374-LIVE. Visiting Angels, America's choice in senior home care.
Want more tips for living a more joyful, abundant life through the gift of the theology of the body?
Well, and follow us on Facebook at More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa, and on Twitter and Instagram at Catholic Counselors. We'll see you there.
Thank you for joining us today on More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and today's show is titled Shaken, Not Stirred. Is anxiety shaking you up or someone you care about? We want to help you find grace-filled ways to reclaim your peace and support the people you love who are struggling with anxiety as well. 877-573-7825.
Let's talk now with Rebecca, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Nebraska.
On Spirit Catholic Radio. Hey, Rebecca, welcome to More to Life. What's going on?
Hi. I just wanted to call and follow up to the question that the mom about postpartum.
Okay.
I've had 5 babies, and I was fine, quote-unquote fine, normal, whatever, after my first 4. But after my 5th, I was not okay, and I needed anti-anxiety medicine and an antidepressant medicine for a time. And I just wanted to, I thought when you talked about her letter, I was hoping you would kind of address maybe if she's like really bad, like anxious, like whatever, that there's no shame or there's no,
sure.
It's okay to be on medicine even for a little bit, like temporarily or whatever.
Yeah.
So
no, absolutely.
I just wanted to bring that up.
I'm glad you did, Rebecca. I'm really glad you did.
So let me talk about why we didn't suggest that.
Because normally, you're absolutely right. Under certain circumstances, it would have been something we added to our answer.
First, the way she described her experience, she wasn't talking about having panic attacks or not
depression,
being able to function.
Or not being able to function or get
she
out
was
of
just
bed or any of that.
Basically describing a level of anxiety that really didn't warrant medication. Now, that said, we did not mention that she should maybe talk to her OB about hormonal imbalances or any of those sorts of things just to make sure that physical side of it was addressed. And so thank you for bringing that up, because I think that would be an important thing.
Yes, I'm hoping she's still listening. You're absolutely right. And in all cases, if you are suffering after childbirth in a way that's affecting your nervous system and making you feel anxious or making you feel depressed, there is so much chemically going on in a postpartum mom. It's always important to make sure that you're working with somebody who understands how to deal with it.
The second point would be, I absolutely agree with you. There's absolutely no shame at all. And every person, you know, because a lot of times people of faith think, well, gosh, if I take medication for my emotional stuff, then that means that I'm broken in some way.
That's not
failing.
The Catholic understanding
that
at all.
That is not it at all. If there is a way to address suffering, to bring down that suffering, to reduce
to heal.
That, to heal it, then we have almost a moral obligation to do it, right? Because God wants us to thrive, and he wants us to be healthy, and so there's no shame at all in seeking any kind of help. And I'm glad that you sought that help and that you were assisted by the antidepressants and anti-anxiety medications. What I would say is based on a very specific case, because it differs from person to person to person, so it worked well for you. But what the other reason I didn't mention it, again, based on the level of anxiety she was reporting, is that there was a major, huge study out of Johns Hopkins University that looked at the best course of treatment for anxiety disorders. And where most research on depression shows that medication and psychotherapy together is the most effective way to address depression.
And again, Rebecca was also being treated for depression as well as anxiety, postpartum, 5th baby.
What the research really shows when it comes to anxiety disorders is that psychotherapy alone is actually more effective as a first course of treatment than even psychotherapy and medication or medication alone. And the reason for that, and again, that's not saying that that it shouldn't have worked for you or that it wouldn't work for another person, but it depends case by case. So everybody should talk to your doctor and get an evaluation for the best course of treatment for you. But in the aggregate, all right, the research really shows that with anxiety disorders in particular, one of the things that accompanies an anxiety disorder is a low sense of self-efficacy. What that means is, like, the anxiety is so much, I don't feel like I can do anything about it, right? And if I use medication, then it takes some of the anxiety away, but not necessarily all of it, and then I still feel powerless to the anxiety. So then I have to take more of the medication, or I top out of the medication.
Or we literally become anxious that if we have to go off of it, what's going to happen to me then?
And what the research, but not just one study, but this was a review of hundreds of studies on anxiety disorders. What they found was, as a first approach to treating anxiety, when people could be given tools to show that they have power over the anxiety, that they could do things to decrease the anxiety and improve that sense of self-efficacy in the face of anxiety, they felt a lot better than people who were doing that kind of work and medication. Because, again, because of that lower self-efficacy, I wouldn't use the tools that my counselor was giving me. I would try to lean too heavily on the medication. So, again, that's not everybody. And it worked for you, and everybody should get the evaluation.
Praise God that it did.
Everybody should get the evaluation they need. But that was the second reason I didn't bring it up. Number one, the level of anxiety she was reporting didn't really seem like she needed that level of... I didn't even recommend counseling.
Yes, for her, exactly. Because of the way she wrote this, we knew that, you know, we're taking each thing at a step, right? So she hadn't even really self-disclosed a lot of this to her husband. She hadn't come up with any kind of plan to, you know, get any relief at home. That's the first step in this.
But you're absolutely right. You should get a physical evaluation, especially when you're dealing with postpartum issues. But if, in general, a person is dealing with anxiety problems, you should know that the research really shows that starting with counseling first, and then perhaps adding medication if necessary, especially when it comes to like things like panic disorder and that sort of thing, that can be useful down the road. But for most folks who are struggling with anxiety, the best course of treatment is counseling alone at first.
And I do want to add, and I think it's imperative to add here, that if any of our listeners are going through a postpartum situation or have someone who is, finding a clinician that can test your hormone balances above all things is vital, and they're not that easy to find, but you want to be, there's a lot of natural ways to balance these things out postpartum. There are things that can be done to help, but the raging hormone storm that happens the first year postpartum has variant effects on a lot of people. So if you're just going in to your OBGYN or your general practitioner, they're probably going to write you a script for something, but it may not even address the hormonal imbalances that you could be going through.
And Rebecca, so I want to thank you for sharing your experience and giving that encouragement to listeners.
Absolutely.
I just wanted to offer that qualifier to that. The other thing I'll throw out, since we've got a couple of minutes here, is that people don't appreciate that medication addresses a different part of the problem than counseling does. So, for example, antidepressants will address the physical symptoms of depression, but not the psychological symptoms. What do I mean by that? Well, a lot of times people feel sluggish, they feel foggy, they have a hard time paying attention, feeling motivated, they just feel achy in their body. Antidepressants address all of that. Right. But what studies show is antidepressants don't actually affect the prefrontal cortex, where all the bad thinking is going on, where all the thoughts about, you know, my life is miserable, there's nothing I can
all
do.
All those everything. Horrible thoughts.
Right. And that's what counseling works on. So the two-pronged approach actually work on different parts of the brain. Right. So medication work on the parts of the brain that are responsible for the bodily senses of depression.
And can often give you enough of a freedom to be able to do the
right
work of therapy.
Where counseling affects the cognitive aspects of depression or anxiety. And in the case of anxiety, that's the more important piece, because the underlying thought is there's nothing I can do about this. I feel like I'm being run over by a truck by my anxiety. There's nothing I can do, so I have to lean on external things to make me feel better. Unfortunately, for most people, you know, there isn't enough that you can take that's going to make you that actually feel better permanently. You were in a different situation because, again, you got a particular evaluation and you were given a particular course of treatment, so that's a good thing. But I just wanted to put that out there because people don't really understand how these things work together, why you might need both, you know, mm-hmm. and why if you're on medication sometimes it's not doing it all, because it's doing the part that it can. But there's more to these kinds of things, anxiety, depression, other mental health issues, than just a physical component to it. So, all right, thank you so much for the opportunity to address all that, Rebecca. We really appreciate your question. And, you know, as we're heading out here, I just want to end where we started by reminding everybody that we have a tendency to think that it's the problems in my life that are causing the anxiety. And I'm not suggesting that, you know, that's not entirely true. What I am saying, though, is it's not so much the problems in our life. It's when we allow the problems to separate us or to make us feel disconnected from God or the people who love and support us or our own best resources. And again, let me just walk you through that, right? How many times have you been anxious about something and you went into Eucharistic adoration and you felt really connected to God and you came out at the end of that prayer time, even though those problems were still there, you felt a peace about it? Or those times when you were upset about something and really anxious about something and you talked to somebody that you love and you worked through it with them, and even though that problem was still there, you felt more peaceful and less anxious. We can have concerns about things, right? Concerns just allow us to see the problem, gather support, and make a plan. Anxiety, though, is when we have a problem and we're disconnected. And the answer to that is to reach out for that connection first and then solve the problem. If you're looking for ways to beat anxiety and make those stronger connections in your life, reach out to us at CatholicCounselors.com. We'll hook you up with a faithful, professional Catholic counselor to help you transform your marriage, family, or personal life in the light of God's grace. Have a blessed day, folks. Thanks for listening.
More to Life is a co-production of CatholicCounselors.com, Ave Maria Radio, and EWTN Radio, and is carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. For copies and downloads of this program, and for more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net.